Stuart Gandy is probably probably hasn't escaped him either, this story. I don't think anyone in Tassie would be not aware of it, but obviously the tragedy in recent days, and Stuart Gandy is going to pay tribute to this enormous figure in Tasmanian gallops racing in Paul Geard. And Stuart Gandy's on the line and he joins us. G'day, Stuart. How are you?
Yeah, good. Thanks, fellas. Yourself?
Not bad. Just before we touch on the life and legacy of Paul Geard, this harness story that's blown up down there, A, are you aware of it? And B, what's the vibe down there about it?
Oh, look, I think everyone in all the codes are aware of it. I guess that's why we have an Office of Racing Integrity to deal with issues like this. And I guess the participants would just leave it up to the people that get paid to do the regulation on it.
Well, let's hope that those people that do get paid to do the regulation come on and have a chat to us at some point in the next couple of days. Hey, Stu, the reason we obviously got you on today was to reflect on the life of Paul Geard, who sadly passed away in recent days. You had a great association, a long association with the Geard family, and they leave a huge legacy and mark on Tasmanian racing.
Oh, look, Paul was a huge part of Tasmanian racing. I knew him for over 20 years and worked for him for 16, 17 years. His devotion and his input into the industry is, just a huge owner and just a huge lover of racing.
We'll talk about what happens next, because there was such a huge volume of Geard GG horses, and a leading breeder who I spoke to this morning said if this had happened 15 years ago, this tragedy, then the racing and breeding industry in Tassie would almost suffer a terminal blow. But things have advanced a little bit since then. But just before we talk about the scale of the GG operation, tell us a bit about Paul Geard. I know that Paul and Elizabeth Geard were elderly people. I know they had eight kids, and none of those kids, from what I can gather, have followed them into the GG's world. But tell us a bit about Paul Geard.
Yeah, look, Paul's a farmer. He started off dairy farming and went into sheep and beef cattle. Always loved his horses. Started off in pacing, owning paces, and, ventured into the gallops. Yeah, probably 19 years ago. And started off with just a couple, and then over the years he acquired a stallion and then another stallion, and he was very fortunate to pick up Wordsmith as a untried colt and stood him at stud, and he's just proved to be, he's been a fantastic stallion. He still is. A champion of two-year-olds and leading sire for many years. It was his passion. And Elizabeth, she had his passion as well. They just loved their horses. Didn't really matter if they were champions or not, but just loved seeing them go around and watching them grow from foals right through to their racing career.
What are the origins of your relationship with Paul, Stu? How did you end up training his horses?
Yeah, look, I started, I first met Paul when I was working at a racing stable just up the road from where he had his dairy, and just got to know him through then. And then, I had a pretty bad injury. And then when I was coming back from that, he offered me a job he said, I've got 50 horses in the paddock up there. He said, one of them's got to be good. And gave me the job of going through them and sorting them out. And he was right, and Black Flash was one of them. And, he went on to be probably the best racehorse Tasmanian seen.
He was certainly the best with the GG moniker as well. Stu, tell us about the scale of the business. It sounds like it's no similarity to the old situation, but it started as a small sort of operation and exploded. And the GG story, for what the GG horses represented for the percentage of the overall population of racing horses and breeding stock and so on, they Any rough idea about the number of GG horses compared to the overall racing population in Tassie?
Oh, look, I couldn't really say, but I guess at the moment there'd still be 140 horses, probably 100 on the farm and 40 in work. And yeah, well, yeah, foaling down 18 this year coming, and you know, 15 yearlings. So yeah, like Paul was, he always was forwards, looking forwards, and never took a backward step. So yeah, we were, the accelerator was down right to the end, and it's yeah, he's supported a lot of people in the industry, and just. Yeah, his passion for breeding and racing them is second to none.
What sort of mind did he have, you know, horse racing mind did he have and breeding mind did he have? Because obviously, as you touched on, he started in cattle and breeding cattle, and then he moved into horse racing. I think he took a share 20 years ago in horse, and that lit a fire in his belly. But was he an astute judge, or did he have a lot of luck early days?
Look, I guess a lot of it comes down to luck with racing and breeding. He was always very willing to give anything a try. Wasn't too worried about how well bred they were, but just had a fantastic stallion that just upgraded mares, wordsmith. And just, yeah, like trying things that other people probably wouldn't have, but just had the passion and had the, he had the land and the ability to do it. And, yeah, look, he's proved a lot of people wrong. Sometimes it didn't work and a lot of the times it did. And, he's just, his focus was on just getting young horses, 2-year-olds, and if they went on, then that was good. But yeah, try them early, and you just never know. That was probably his saying, you just never know. He never ever worried if you told them they weren't showing too much. You just say, keep pushing, they'll be right. Keep trying them. Give him a let up and go again. Like, he was, gave horses plenty of chances to prove their ability.
Stu, there's a greyhound race we have to get to in about 60 seconds, and if this conversation goes beyond that, we'll take the greyhound race and come back to you, because there is so much more to the Paul and Elizabeth Geard story. What happens now? I think that's one of the big questions. Is this operation was so big disproportionately to the rest of the industry down there, and my understanding is the family doesn't have the same passion. What do you imagine will happen now with the GG story?
Yeah, look, I guess that's to come. I guess still very raw and very fresh. At this stage, business as normal, and I guess going forwards, the family will have a meeting and work out what the process is. But yeah, I don't think there'd be anybody in racing in Tasmania that had the passion that Paul had and the drive. It's sad he wasn't planning on going anywhere, and although he was elderly, he was as keen on breeding and keeping the numbers up right to the end. There's a lot to do. Family matters come first, and when the dust settles, there'll be, no doubt, there'll be decisions to be made, and a lot of nice horses that no doubt will find nice homes and nice stables and win people plenty of races.
Yeah, he'll leave some legacy, no doubt about that. Hey, Stu, appreciate you spending a couple of minutes with us on the radio to reflect on his life. So it was great to have you on, and good on you, mate. Appreciate your time.
Thanks, fellas. Thanks for having me. Stu-